Hey Session family, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling? What is up? My name is Raquel Simmons and I am a marriage and family therapist. And you are now tuned in to In Session's very own Uncomfortable Conversation podcast. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Enjoy the show. Anyway, hey family, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling? Welcome back. This is another episode of Uncomfortable Conversations. Welcome back. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining. This is episode 2. And if you heard by the title, you know we're about to get a little bit messy in here because it is titled Break Up or Argue Better. So by the title, we're going to talk a little bit more about relationships today. So, you know, we start off every episode with an icebreaker from our cards. And because we're talking about relationships today, we're going to go straight to our couples edition. My couples edition has never been done by itself, but, you know, we're going to get through it. And I'm sure I'll be able to answer the questions, whatever it may be, about myself or about my current relationship. So I'm going to let you guys in. Just not too much, just a little bit. So shuffle in the cards just so we could make sure, you know, I'm not rigging the cards. All right. Oh, okay. Here we go. So this card says, what is a trauma you had to heal from prior to getting into this relationship? How does it show up in your relationship today? Wow, these cards are like, this card in particular is like right on cue for what we're talking about, and this card is all in my business, so definitely didn't expect for this to be the card, but all right, we'll answer it. All right. Oh, what trauma? I'm choked up already. Hold on, let me reread it. Yo, y'all know how you just like read a card or read something and you can't believe what it says, so you gotta like hold it. You gotta hold it down. Like, yeah, that's what it says. It says that. All right, let me reread it so I can collect myself. All right, what trauma? Wait, look, I'm stuttering. Calm down, Raquel. All right, what is a trauma you had to heal from prior to getting in this relationship or your relationship? And how does it show up in your relationship today? I'm going to answer. I'm sweating. All right, a trauma. All right, for real. A trauma that I feel like, All right. A trauma that I feel like I needed to heal from prior to getting into my current relationship. If you guys don't know, I'm engaged. So I must be doing something right because, you know, there's a ring here. So I would say, so before I got in my current relationship, I was in a relationship that was very toxic and very abusive. Abusive physically, mentally, verbally, very controlling. I mean, the list could go on. And there was a lot of, and when I say controlling, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't, like, beyond the four walls, I couldn't interact. I wasn't able to be on social media. I was, like, being called, like, a groupie or a social media, like, just things that weren't true, but if you hear it enough, I don't want to say that you're going to believe it, but you definitely start to think like maybe I am being a groupie, or maybe I am too focused on what everybody else got going on and less about the relationship that I currently have. So yeah, you start to think about certain things that's not true, but it's easy to believe that it is true because you're being told it by someone who is also telling you that they love you. So how can you be manipulated in that sense by someone who is also loving on you and caring on you and We could talk about that relationship in a whole nother, like that is worth an entire episode alone, like toxic relationships. But I had to learn or unlearn that I wasn't enough. I had to learn that I am that girl, like period. I had to learn that I am not like I'm worthy. I'm worthy of everything and I do not need to be controlled. And so when I got into my current relationship, it was so hard because I've adapted a lot of a lot of behaviors to where my current partner doesn't care, or maybe there's a lot of trust. There's a lot of trust in my current relationship. And so when I'm like going somewhere, I'm always like, hey, it's a little bit, it goes above just updating my partner. It's like, oh, it was like, hey, is it okay if I do this? Like, I was more asking permission than updating. And so I think I had to heal from being controlled. I had to heal from the level of power that I granted someone and they abused. So how does this show up in my relationship today? I think today I'm much more confident. Today I am much more powerful. Today I am much more encouraged. And I definitely owe that to my current partner for being able to feed into me the way and pour into me the way that I didn't know that I needed and I didn't know was possible. All right, this not about me, y'all. So not too much on me. This is a good card. I cannot wait till you guys are able to access these cards. Like, all right, that's enough on that. What an icebreaker, my goodness. So, following that, we're gonna get into our topics and we're gonna talk about communication and how we could best communicate to avoid arguments. And so I came up with the title of, excuse me, Break Up or Argue Better, because when do we learn conflict? Where did you learn conflict? Where did you even learn how to argue? I mean, we all know how to do it. We all got a mouth. A lot of us have attitudes that don't make no sense. And so where did you get that from? And so when I see clients, a lot of times, and for those who are new here, I am a marriage and family therapist. So when I do see clients, I often, it's in particularly couples, I'll ask them, where did you learn conflict? And it's always a funny question because they always look at me like, what are you talking about? And so what I usually say is, well, how was your levels of exposure to conflict? Sorry. So when they usually say like, when I was growing up, I was able to see like my parents, the way they navigated arguments or their circumstances, so their community, they were able to see how their community, if the streets raised you, because that's a possibility, you could be out in the streets and the streets raised you, and you were able to see how conflict was settled then as well. And so how I learned conflict was from my parents. I grew up in a space where my parents argued more than they ever loved. I don't think I've ever seen them. I know for sure I've never heard them say I love you to each other, which as a result led to me not knowing how to utilize the word love in a beneficial way. Or an appropriate way, or not knowing what that even means, or learning as I'm, my grown years, what love actually means. But I also seen them fight often. And so how I learned conflict is I feel like my mom is more aggressive. My mom is more aggressive and my dad is more passive. And so you have a passive a style of arguing, and you have more aggressive, assertive, my way or no way kind of style. And then you just kind of learn and you choose which one you want to go for. Well, because I don't enjoy conflict, and I'm, one of a lot of us don't really like, to deal with conflict, I tend, or I have chosen the way my dad handled it, which was not handling at all. The way he handled it was to allow my mom to overshadow and overpower him. Listen, this is no shade. This is my story, my experiences, and what I've been able to witness. So this is no shade to my parents, by the way. Y'all did what y'all could. But so my conflict and how I chose to deal with it was to allow my partners to say whatever they wanted to say, just kind of overpower me. Because in reality, what I have been taught was that if you don't say anything, it'll stop. And then I never seen them resolve any of their conflicts. So what I always seen is he didn't say anything, so she ended up stopping. It's like when a bully is like bullying you and you're not fighting back, at some point, ideally, they should stop because, no one's fighting back, so they kind of get bored and just leave it alone. Or they feel like, okay, you don't have nothing to say, I won. I used to be okay with the people I've dated winning, and only because I just wanted it to go away. I didn't embrace conflict. I didn't see conflict as a way to grow or a way to identify the problems or the solutions in my past relationships. And so I chose not to say anything. That didn't work. That didn't work, especially when I had partners who I stayed quiet and they kept going. And then I could never understand why they never shut up. I could never understand why they just kept going and going and going. And I'm just like, wait a minute, this is not working. Like, everything I learned is not working because I'm supposed to be quiet and so are they. Like, eventually, are they not supposed to stop talking? Anyway, it didn't work. And I'm no longer in those relationships. So I guess it did work because, I'm with who I'm supposed to be with, so I guess it worked in the long run. But in that moment, it was very uncomfortable and it didn't work. And what it ended up doing, what I observed it did, was teach my partners, one, I'm okay with being walked over, and two, they're okay, or I'm okay with them feeling unvalidated by what they're saying. Here's an example. I could do something very wrong and not see where I went wrong. And then my partner at the time would tell me where I went wrong. And I'm just like blank deer in headlights. I'm surprised I'm here today because if I was them, I would have been like, what is that? I probably would have been like ready to strangle. Just kidding. But I understand like that level of frustration. Like they were telling me what I was doing wrong for the most part in some cases. And instead of me meeting them with a different level of communication, I met them with, okay, no, this is a level of conflict. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm just gonna look at you. I'm just gonna listen to you. I don't have anything to say. You're right, you got it. Even if they weren't right, they were right because I didn't know what to do and I don't know how to deal with it and it just was too much. So, write in the comments, how did you learn how to deal with conflict? I'm very interested to know how did you guys learn? What kind of styles do you feel like you're more of the aggressive person? Let's talk about it. Do you feel like you're more of what I was, which is the avoidant person? Do you feel like you were more the person who walks away and not just be me and be a deer in headlights, but you walk away from it and you ever come back. Like, let's communicate. Like, meet me in the comments. Let me know what your experiences with conflict was. All right. So the next thing that I want to speak about is a little bit more on like the therapy aspect of communication. So this, I'm gonna teach y'all a little something real quick. So as a therapist with partners, we love Gottman theory. So Gottman theory is a theory or a person. Gottman is a person who came up with a theory to support with communicating within like a marriage or couple or relationship. So Gottman theory has what is called the four horsemen. So all my therapists out there, if you know, you know, you know we love a good Gottman. So tag along with me in the comments for all my therapists or all the people who are even familiar with Gottman theory. Like, let me know how y'all feel. Let me know if I'm getting this right. I may be a tad bit rusty, but let me know if I'm getting the four horsemen right. So the first one, so the four horsemen overall is criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. At some point, we are all victim to this. Like, you cannot tell me that we don't fall into these categories at some point in life. And let me describe them first. And then you write in the comments, you can even write like, yeah, I've been that stonewaller, which you guys will see, like, that was me. Anyway, so criticism is the first one. Criticism is when we choose, or we have to be very careful with our tone and our language. Our tone and our language is what matters in the criticism portion. Here's an example. So let me provide like a real life example that I've been able to witness. You and your partner have this agreement that if they decide to go out after work, they are to call you and let you know, like, hey, I'm gonna stay out, I'm gonna go out with some of my coworkers after work, whatever. This particular time, they do not do that. They go out after work and they don't write you, they don't call you, nothing. You don't hear from them. And they come scrolling in the door. And now you're looking like, what's going on? You immediately, a lot of us immediately go straight to criticism. And here's what that sounds like. You never think about me. You never think about how your behaviors are affecting me. How dare you stay out? Like, we communicated about this. You just doing what you want. Like, calm down. Like, let me just say, calm down, first off. And we all fall victim to this because it's like, how dare you? Where you been? Like, you always go, you always doing this, you not. Now, if your partner is a cheater, let's have, if they are a cheater and they are, this is a behavior that is like a repetitive behavior, we are having a different conversation. We are not talking about repetitive cheaters that you got to keep communicating what's going on, every second. This is about someone who doesn't often go out after work and not communicate, and all of a sudden they move in different. So you're letting them have it. You're saying, why you never communicate, you never know how your actions affect me. You're just going off. Side note, when in a relationship, definitely stay away from like the nevers or you always, because that's not true. If it was true, we having a different conversation, because why are you still there? Anyway, here's a different way to present that. So there's a better way to present that, but you can complain. I know it sounds crazy, like complaining in a relationship, but to combat criticism, you need to be able to complain. And here's what that sounds like. I thought we agreed that you would contact me if you decided to go out after work. Like, what happened? I was worried about you. Do you see how different that is? Like, do you see how like You never pay attention. You're very selfish. You're not able to see how your actions affect me too. I thought we agreed that you would contact me before you left work and decided to go out. I was worried about you. Because in reality, we just be worried. A worry turns into anger, how anger turns into, if this person comes in this house, I can't wait. Like, you're building yourself up. You're like waiting and you're like building up yourself for war. Why are you at war with your partner? And so, let me know in the comments, is this you? And if this is you, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out different ways that you can, communicate and respond in that type of manner. Or even email me. Let's chat there and we could probably bring it back to our platform. So the second one is contempt. So contempt is when you just flat out being rude. Okay? This is not what you want to say. This is not where you want to be. This is like where we're like letting our verbal and nonverbal cues like show up, where we're like rolling our eyes and name calling. This is where I was just at, like with my icebreaker card. Like, you know what? I should have been like, you're in contempt right now and I'm not interested. So let's bring it back. So I got a good example for a lot of, and listen, I'm not trying to ruffle no feathers because I know I like to tussle. I'm trying to provide real examples here, like real life examples that I've been able to see. Contempt, a contempt response or living in contempt looks like, all right, for all my new moms out there, for the moms that, you got more than two kids, or you got a lot of kids, or you just navigate and stay at home mom, anything. These are for this is an area where I think a lot of moms live or a lot of parents live. So here's an example. You've been taking care of the children all day. You're tired. I mean, the kids been ripping and running, they doing too much in the house. The father comes in the house, he gets on the game. Immediately strangle him. No, I'm kidding. He gets on the game, and then what happens is, or he's scrolling on social media, and you still caring for the kids, and you're still, like, what's happening? So you go to him and you say, you don't see what's going on. You don't see that, like, why didn't you help me with the kids immediately? And his response is, oh, I'm tired. Immediately, that's gonna tick you off. Like, let's be real. You're gonna be ready to kill at me because it's like, what? So your response would probably be something like, what do you mean you're tired? Like, I'm tired. I've been ripping and running with these kids all day. I've been doing X, Y, and Z. Think diapers needed to be changed. They need to be ready to prep for school tomorrow. What do you mean you're tired? Like, you're good for nothing. I mean, this is where we start getting crazy. Like, you're not good for anything. What are you even doing here? Like, I mean, you're just going off. Never mind that the fact that your partner may actually be tired, that you didn't communicate those type of expectations of you needing help prior to him or her even getting in the home. And they might have had a horrible day at work. So they might actually need that level to decompress. And instead, they're being met with, like, you're good for nothing. Why are you even here? I don't need to take care of a third kid. Like, you're so lazy. I mean, you're just attacking the character like crazy. Why do that? Instead, what do you guys think is a different response? If you think it's a different response, because I understand the frustration. So you may not have a different response. You might be able to be like, absolutely, why would he come straight into the house and on the game or on his phone as if he don't see all these kids, as if now I gotta take care of third kid? I mean, listen, there's other ways to respond. How about saying different things like, I need help. like that's gonna ruffle some feathers, because especially as Black women, for some reason, we are afraid to say we need help. My goodness, you could just literally say, I need help. I know you've had a long day, but I just need a moment. If you could help me out in this moment, I could continue to navigate to support everybody. You can't support everybody if you need a break, but if you don't communicate that you need a break, no one's gonna know. All right. The next one is defensiveness. Defensiveness is like a response to criticism. So defensiveness is when you don't take accountability. And a lot of people don't take accountability. So a lot of people are probably here. And we also learn this in a lot of different cultures. So hear me out. I work well with examples. So I have a whole bunch of examples for you guys. But defensiveness is, I'll use kids because I don't know why. I don't know why I'm still using children, but it's an easy topic, I suppose. But anyway, your partner says to you in the morning, hey, are you able to schedule a dentist appointment for the children? You say, yes, I got it. I'll do it later today. I'll do it on my lunch break. You and your partner come home. Your partner asks you, hey, did you get to schedule the dentist appointment for the children? And you say, no, I didn't do it. And then you just flip it. This is where you reverse it and say, you know what? You know I had a lot to do today. Why didn't you do it? Like, why would you put this on my plate when you know I had a lot going on? Like, you could have just did it. You knew I wasn't going to be able to get it done. Whoa, why is you flipping out? Or something that was your responsibility. That was your job. You said you would do it, and so the expectation is that you would get it done. And if you couldn't get it done, well, you should have communicated that you couldn't do it. Like, this is a very easy thing, but we don't think, because we naturally go to how do we learn conflict more than how can we separate from those negative conflict styles that we had to be able to communicate a little bit better. Here's a different response. Oh my goodness, I didn't get to do it. I'm so sorry. I completely forgot. I'll do it tomorrow. Or, you know what? This week is very busy. Do you have any time in your schedule to do it? Because I know I don't want to keep forgetting, and I know that this is important. We're saying the same thing here. We're saying the same thing. And what could happen is I could go from, why didn't you do it yourself? Because you knew I had a lot going on, to, oh my goodness, oh my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't even know. I didn't even realize this day just got away from me. I'll do it tomorrow. Or this is a heavy week for me. I'm going to be realistic. Is there a way that you could get it done? Oh my God. Like, it's such a breath of fresh air when you could be able to communicate a tad bit better instead of attacking. Like, Lord have mercy. Why is our first thing, or a lot of our first response, is to attack or to be in defense when it's really not necessary? All right, our last one, I have a close and personal relationship with, which is stonewalling. Stonewalling is avoiding at all costs. Like, my deer in headlights, my, oh my God, why aren't you? I mean, I was so bad. I could talk about it now because I'm better, so don't judge me. But I was so bad, when the conflict didn't stop, I would tell my partner, like, oh my God, you're so annoying. Like, you're annoying me. Why are you, oh, this was my thing. Why are you nagging me? Oh my gosh. if anybody ever sees this, like, it's probably going to trigger you. Oh well. But it's like, why are you nagging me? I was always on some, like, why are you nagging me? In reality, I just didn't know how to argue. I didn't know how to come back, or I didn't know how to communicate and say, actually, that's not right. You know, and so I chose to stonewall, which is I shut down, I stopped responding, I withdrew from all conversations once this didn't work, once I'm shutting down and you're still going, I completely went to defense. Because it's like, whoa, my conflict style is not working. What happened, parents? My parents taught me it's okay for one person to be the aggressor and one person to just be quiet, and then it just magically disappears. Like, what's happening? Was like, why, you know, why is it not working? And so that's exactly what stonewalling is. Being able to just shut down, remove yourself completely from the conversation. This is not the most healthiest thing now. I know that now. And so something to combat that is taking a break. A lot of people don't know how to, like, when you guys are like at high, or one person is high and one person is low, the person who is high, especially in a caring, loving relationship, they are the ones who are responsible to pull each other back and say, you know what, I can see that you're not in this conversation right now. We're going to take a break. In this break, we're, you know, we could choose the time, how far or how long we're going to go, but we have to come back to it, because I need to be able to resolve this, or I need to be able to get my point across. But it's not going to get across with you just shutting down. So let's take a break. Let's take a moment and let's come back to it. Those was not that hard. Like, why are we so hard? Why are we so bad at communicating? Those were not that hard. And those were, again, and I'll link all of like different resources in the comments below. But in reality, those were not hard. And it was so hard for me. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. Like, in a way, becoming a therapist has, like, saved my life. Like, becoming a therapist, and Jesus, of course. But becoming a therapist has saved me in so many ways, because it's been able to open my eyes to how messed up of a person I was. You know how crazy? Like, I would have never dated me. Like, I would have. Because, you know, I'm still that girl. I was still that girl, but I really wasn't that girl in a relationship. I really didn't know how to communicate effectively. I didn't know how to argue better. I didn't know that arguing doesn't mean yelling and screaming over each other. Arguing with each other could just mean trying to figure out how we could get to the bottom of something or not. Or, you know, knowing how to understand your partner a little bit better, knowing what ticks them off and knowing how far to push them and things like that. Like, you didn't have to yell and scream, and you don't have to run away from conflict. So those were the four horsemen, which is, again, criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. So right, if you're brave enough, let me know in the comments which one you are, which one you fall under. Shoot. Let me know if you fell under all four at some point in your life, or you still tagging along with all four of them, which is very necessary, very possible. All right, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to go to our chat session. So we got our first chat session. Woo! We got our first chat session. So again, remember, if you guys want to write in, please email me at insessionmft@gmail.com. Put in the subject box. Sorry, put in the subject box chat session CS. You know, something along those lines, so that I know that the message is exactly for this segment. But yeah, let me know. Let's talk. You can even respond to which one you are. You guys are, feel like you are. If you don't feel comfortable, put it in the comments. Let me know in my email. Like, tell me about it. What we doing? All right. So this person decided to stay anonymous, which is very fine. It's completely fine. So I'll read it. I want to start out by saying congratulations on your new segment of In Session. This is amazing. Thank you. Now let's get into it. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for going on 4 years, and he has yet to ask me to be his wife. I've been hinting to him that I don't want to be a girlfriend forever. However, He does not seem to be getting it. Our relationship has its ups and downs, as all relationships do. But I can see myself with him forever. Do you have any suggestions on what I should do? Because I don't want to be a girlfriend for the rest of my life. What y'all think? Write me in the comments. What y'all think? Like, what y'all think I should say? I could think of a few, but what would be y'all's suggestions? Like, tell me what y'all's suggestions would be to Miss Anonymous, Miss Anonymous. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Let's see. So you've been in a relationship for going on 4 years, and you are interested in becoming a wife. First off, have you ever had this conversation with your partner? I think this is the most important thing. One of the things you said is you've been giving him hints. How, like, I think there's a lot of things that's missing, like, because it's like, how old are we? Like, what are we talking about? Because hints, we need to be direct. I think in reality, when we're entering a relationship, we need to be able to say, like, what are we doing here? Like, what's your intentions with me? Where are you trying to go? Because this is where I'm headed. And so it's very important to even lay out those things down on the line, like date one, like, as crazy as it sounds, but a first date, first off, you can feel the vibes and know if it's going somewhere or not. And then you'll be able to say, like, all right, my goals is X, Y, and Z. I am dating for marriage. I am dating with the intentions on being with someone for the rest of my life. I am dating to be with one partner. Is this something that you're interested in? Because if you don't know that, you're 4 years too late. Like, why are we having this conversation right now? That's something that needed to be happen day one, not 4 years in. And then the hints, like, what kind of hints are you throwing? Because why not be direct? Like, is this something that you feel like you can approach him with directly? Like, what kind of hints are you throwing? And I know we talked about accountability a little bit. Are you the problem? Like, we never talk about what we doing. You said you guys go through like ups and downs. Like, what are the ups and downs here? Like, you're missing details here. You're missing details here because what are the ups and downs? And who's causing them? Because you may not be the right person for him. Don't shoot the messenger, just say it. You may not be the right person, and he also should have like an obligation to be able to say, why are you stringing, why he's stringing you along, and to have these conversations. I mean, he may be going through so much things, like a lot of men I know, and this is, we'll talk about this in another episode of, they feel like they need to be financially stable to be able to commit to a marriage or be in the right position and put his family into a different position to where he feels confident enough to lead. Like, what does the home or household rules or responsibilities look like? And is he interested in even being married? I know that you're dropping these hints, but it doesn't sound like he's catching them. So is this even something that he wants to do? Do you even know his views on marriage? Do you even know your views on marriage, and do they align with his? Is, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, what you guys think we should respond? I think that you should just be direct, honestly. I think just ask. Just ask him. I want to get married. What are your views? Like, is this something you're interested in? Because if you never ask, you'll be writing back in on year five and year six, talking about you don't want to be a girlfriend forever. But that's kind of where it sounds like the relationship is going towards, because you are afraid to have that direct communication and direct line of like questionings of, all right, what's your intentions with me? Like, where are we headed? I'm not interested in being a girlfriend forever. What's your timeline here? Like, where is ticking? What are we doing? But yeah, I don't know. What you guys think? What do you guys think? I feel like she should just be very direct. I think it's necessary to have direct conversations. We don't have to beat around the bush to say, hey, what's going on? Like, this is what I want. Is this what you want? Yes or no? You know, and if it's no, you got your answer and you do with that what you will. But if it's yes, you guys have to be able to navigate why this is going on year four and you're still his girlfriend. I don't know. I hope I helped. I hope this helped. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. I don't know. That is what I would give. I think it's a lot of missing pieces to this email to know exactly what direction, maybe more elaborations on what the ups and downs look like. I'm interested to know your age just because of the life cycle that we may be in, that you may be in, to be able to best respond to this. But overall, no matter none of those circumstances, I would just say, just ask your partner, what is your intentions? Where are we headed? Because I have goals for myself. And so if you can't align with it, we need to figure out where we're headed and what we're going to do next. I don't know.
I hope.
Okay. As always, we're going to end each segment with, I don't know who needs to hear this, but so I don't know who needs to hear this, but argue better. Argue better. Don't let your past relationships and your past experiences seep into your current. That was a word, y'all. I don't know who needs to hear this, but argue better. So anyway, thank you guys. This wraps up our episode 2. Thank you so much for all those who have stayed along with me and stayed the course. I hope I learned y'all something new. Make sure you again like, comment, subscribe, share. Most importantly, share. Please share this because you never know who may benefit from this at any point in their life, who may be able to grab little nuggets from this conversation. So like, comment, subscribe, share. Make sure you comment because I'm going to be in the comments responding back to everybody. And make sure you guys email me your chat session so we could discuss it here on this platform. Thank you so much for joining and good night.
All right, family. This concludes our episode of Uncomfortable Conversations. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. We'll see you next time.